Welcome to the Unusual Creatures Podcast, a podcast about the unusual creatures that fall in love, stay, stray, come back, and sometimes leave this insane business of artistry and show.
Against all odds, our guests have persevered and told stories using their mediums of choice. Now, these are their stories. And our stories.
The incredible people who you might know by sight, whose names you may not recognize, whose work you've definitely experienced or will one day experience.
Art is a ripple effect, and these artists' creativity makes a lasting impact. Let's hear more.
Hello, 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 world. Hello, everyone, ladies, gentlemen, non-binary folk. We love you. We miss you. We're back. This is the Unusual Creatures Podcast. I'm Thomas Dane.
And I'm Jenny Gomez.
Ooh, we're back for another week. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. It's summer, girl. It's summer. Yeah. So you know what that means. I'm sweating and not losing 1 pound. It's just sweat and God's punishing me.
And I know. Well, you moved back to Florida, honey. You made the choice.
Don't say that. I'm just temporarily recast. That's all, like, you know. You know what's funny? When we were all those years in New York, people, I'd be like, because it gets hot in New York with all that cement and all that concrete.
Oh, it does.
Like, 110 degrees in New York is not a joke. And people would always be like, did they always tell you? Because I'm always like, oh, it was so hot. And they're like, but you're from Florida. I'm like, yeah. And in Florida, we go from our house to the car with umbrellas. And then we go from the car to whatever air-conditioned place. We never leave the air conditioner.
It's true. It's like 20 seconds that we're not in the air conditioning. And if we do choose to go outside, we go to the beach and there's a breeze. And then you have the ocean to dip right into to cool down. So yes, no, we don't. I know. Walk in New York City when it's hot, you have to pound the pavement.
And the subway.
And you cook. Ooh, the subway. Bad, bad. You know when you get out into a hot car and everything smells.
It's a sense memory. Bring a change of clothes because you know you have to have travel clothes. Because then you know when you get to wherever you're going.
Oh, it's disgusting. Gross.
I do not miss that. I don't. God bless y'all up there in New York. I mean, but I'll be back.
You better. Do not get stuck down there, boo.
down in the red state. No, I don't. You know, I have a new appreciation for Florida. It's okay. It's not so bad, as you call it. But as you say it, Florida.
Florida. I don't know where Florida. Never said it like that as a native.
Well, thank you all for joining us again this week. We hope you're enjoying the content. Please, as always, keep liking, keep clicking, keep commenting, keep sharing, share and share more. You can always find us at theunusualcreaturespod@gmail.com if you want to talk to us or a guest. We're here and we want to hear from you. Yes. So let's get started. Jenny, tell us about who we have this week, because this is a first. This is a first in a lot of ways.
It is a first in a lot of ways. Well, it's not our first novelist. It's actually, ironically, our second sci-fi novelist.
In a row.
in a row recording, which is funny, but not in a row. Yeah, the way it's going to get pumped out. But we're talking to a young woman. This wonderful guest is 14 years old. And they will correct me if I get this wrong, but I think it's 17 novels. 17 novels under her belt. 17. At 14 years old. So we're talking to a wunderkind in every sense of the word. So we're super excited.
She's the Taylor Swift of YA novels. Because Taylor Swift was like publishing in Nashville by 13. And I'm like, I was dancing to Madonna and like eating Haagen-Dazs. What were you doing at 14?
I know. Certainly not writing 17 novels. So I think I was probably like collecting Pogs and like listening to New Kids on the Block. I don't know. That was like, that's showing my age. So we're really excited to dig in, because I think I am so excited to watch our guest star just rise as the years continue. And I can't wait to follow her career, because it seems like it's just beginning, but she's a mature novelist at this point. So
she's already an old pro.
Yes. And I do want to shout out, we met Shanti on the Pod Match platform, which is an awesome platform for podcasters where you can find and liaise with new guests. We had a really, really good time just sort of putting in all of our demographics into the Podmatch platform. And that's how we met Shanti. So shout out to Podmatch, and thank you for connecting us to this absolutely wonderful human. Thank you, Podmatch. And without further ado, we'll let Shanti talk about Shanti. Ladies and gentlemen, Shanti Hershenson. Yay!
Hello, Shanti. Hello.
Hi. We're so happy to have you.
First off, thank you so much for having me.
Shanti, tell us a little bit about Oh gosh, I have so many questions. Tell me a little
usually,
bit about.
I mean, usually yeah. This is so funny for us because I was just saying a few minutes ago, like normally we're getting everybody on this show who's like bitter and in the end of life, and like here we have somebody like all of my. I'm trying to rephrase these questions now because I'm like, she's just beginning. You're just beginning, yet already done so much. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
Tell us a little bit about Tell us a little bit about like. How old were you when you wrote your first book? And what was your first book?
So I started writing what I call my first book when I was 12. I have several different answers for this because there were two books I wrote before my first novel that are actually up on Amazon still. They probably shouldn't be. Those books I wrote with my friend, and they're quite short, actually, and they're not too great. But I started writing them when I was 11, finished them both at 12, and published them at 12. So I could say that. However, I don't want to say that because that's going to be a really short answer, and I don't have a lot to say about those books. However, same year, around a few months later, I started writing my first novel, and I did this solo, and it was called Biome Lock. And the premise of it is basically that the aliens have invaded Earth, and they have completely taken over. And it takes place 30 years after an alien invasion, in which the aliens will, force kind of humans as soon as they turn 13 to go live in these like captive biomes, and they're all kind of artificial and decided based on how the human acted at the institute, which is like school. Basically, in daycare. So I started writing it, and I would write maybe a sentence, and then I'd be like, you know, this is enough writing. So it took me about a month to get the first 10,000 words of the book, understandably so.
Sure.
However, after that, I started to realize that it's not as hard to like write 1,000 words as I thought. So what I then decided to do, and I've done this ever since, I would write 1,000 words every single day, and I wouldn't stop until I got to 1,000 words. And with that, my writing very much took off. I finished the first draft around the same time as my 12th birthday. Not my 12th birthday, my 13th birthday. Then I had to edit it, so I actually ended up rewriting the entire book. That took about months, maybe. And then from then, I had about a second or third draft that was extremely long. By extremely long, I mean it was 250,000 words and 800 pages, and that way too long to publish. And it just completely dragged. It was honestly insane. So what I did was, of course, I had to cut a lot of the longer sentences and scenes that were unnecessary. Still, it was very, very long, and it still would not go below 200,000 words. So then what I ended up doing, we split it into three different books, and then actually I wrote the fourth book the summer after, and I need to write fifth and sixth. I haven't yet because I keep – I'm telling myself I'm going to, and then I keep starting like new books once I'm done with another one that aren't Biome Lock related. So –
And you do all this.
Go ahead, Tom.
But you do all this while you were at school, while you're still getting an education, while you're still being a teenager, while going through pandemic. I see. So 1,000 words, no biggie, because she's rolling through this as if like, I mean, 1,000 words a day, and then I edited and re-edited it and did this. I'm like, girl, I'm lucky if I get past the title page, and I'm like, it's like, that's insane. Good kudos.
Totally. Thank you. And then, so Biome Lock is your sort of like core sort of world that you've built. Tell us a little bit about the other sort of like, because you are primarily consider yourself a sci-fi and fantasy writer, but you've written a couple other genres. Tell us a little bit about what makes you sort of move away from the Biome Lock series and like why you kind of drift into other genres. Like what's your inspiration?
So I drifted from Biome Lock and started writing new projects mainly because I felt like I couldn't stick with Biome Lock forever because I started writing it when I was 12. And I'm very aware it is not my best work. I have the first draft still on my computer, and it's, oh my gosh, it's very bad. So like I kind of had to understand like the premise, the characters, everything that's in that book is not reflective of my writing now, even though it's actually really good. And it just, the year difference is insane. So I started actually drifting from Biome Lock once I was done with that first draft. I was kind of done with it. However, I still had to keep editing and rewriting. And after like the third time, like going through and rewriting things, I ended up kind of drifting. Still, you know, I edited it and had the first one published, but I started writing a new series, and that was like very easy. Those were the Chronicles of Xyle Delane. Those are technically novellas. They're about 100 pages each. However, they'd be a lot longer if it wasn't for the pretty bad text size inside. I have to change that. I just don't want to update the covers. That was my next big writing project. Those were my next big projects. That's a series of three books. It's like this paranormal kind of ghost story that's very, very dark and a little concerning. Kind of don't know what was going through my head when I wrote it. You know, it was like right in the middle of the pandemic and I was at home, so I didn't have anything better to do other than write books where like a bunch of ghosts like murder people, but you know.
I love it. I'm living for it.
At least you put it out on the page. It's a way healthier way to get it out, you know?
I'm listening to you. You're just already light years ahead in so many ways. It's because so many writers just don't write.
Yeah.
And the fact that the fact that you're already so self-aware to be like, oh, well, that was garbage. And like, you know, I'm glad I did it.
But I did
and
it.
Like, and, but in a year's time, you can see like, well, I just set this goal and I did it. And how I, because a lot of people just look at that uphill battle, like, oh my God, 1,000 words a day for a year and I'm never going to be anywhere. But then here you are. Like with just a little, with a lot of effort, not a little bit of effort, but kudos again. That's listen up, writers, listen to Shanti, 1,000 words a day.
Yeah. Do what Shanti would do. That's what clearly.
So Shanti, tell us a little bit about your villain origin story. Where are you? Where were you born? Tell us about the family.
So I was born in Los Angeles and I lived there for the first 11 years of my life. It was actually the place we grew up. It was a really great place to grow up. We were kind of like near the mountains, but we were also near like the city and everywhere else. So it was very, very fun. I love my family. So
good.
I have a twin sister and then I have my parents and we've always had cats. Literally always. I've never not had a cat. actually they were supposed to be in here right now, but they're not. Usually they like to make guest appearances on my interviews. Currently we have two cats and we have an older cat. Our two cats, they're basically kittens. They're not. They're a year old, but they act like children.
They
I
do.
Call them my kittens. Yes. But we've always had a cat. And I just think that's very important because it has influenced my writing. I used to only write about cats in like from like first grade to like fifth grade, even sixth grade too. I didn't write many books about humans, or if the books had human characters, it would also need to have a cat. That was just like the core of all of my books were cats because that's what I liked writing about and that's what I knew a lot about. I have bins and bins of full of like writing that I did, like literally just little scribbles on paper or like these like little bound together books I would make. They all have cats in them. I can think of only one that didn't have a cat in it. There's two that had human characters and human focus and they both had cats. So
your origin story is you started out like the cats were your initial sort of muse, right?
Yeah,
fair enough. I'll take it. Have cats made their way into any of your other genres now as you've matured as a writer?
Yes. There was a cat in Biomlock briefly that just vanished. I don't know what happened to it. It was in for one scene.
And We lost a cat.
And like, I forgot about that
character.
I had to write a line. It was like, oh yeah, and then the cat ran away and that was that.
That's roaming around that universe somewhere. You can write a little side story.
Are your parents writers? For you to be in first, second, third grade already writing about cats and thing, even all these pages and pages, like, does this run in the family? Like, is everybody an artist? Like, where does that, are you just the unique one in that way?
Sort of. I come from a very artistic family, but yeah, no one in my immediate family is an author or has written a book.
Yeah, but you have other artists like aunts and uncles and things like that?
Yeah, I think like my family in general is very artistic. My sister has started a jewelry making business, which is very cool. And my parents do music.
How did your parents work this out that they had two kids already with jobs at 14 at Empires at 14? Like. So when you started writing so young, did they nurture it? Did they notice it and be like, this is it, we want you to do? Like, what are their thoughts on this journey for you?
They 100% like nurtured me with it and they encouraged me to write. What actually, this surprises a lot of people. I've never taken a formal writing class before.
Wow. Self-taught, ladies and gentlemen.
I never I kind of learned in school, but not really. Like I really was taught how to write properly. It was just like essays and stuff. So I ended up at a very young age just kind of reading a lot, and that was kind of how I learned to write. But like my parents definitely encouraged me to write, and they like, you know, provided me with the resources to write. But it's mostly been like built for myself.
Reading
for
is fundamental. Reading is fundamental.
Other people's writing is your best teacher. So, you know.
And when we say, for people listening, when we say reading, we don't mean reading, you know, the comments on a TikTok. We mean reading, you know, like, or, you know, Us Magazine Online. I mean reading, like, plays and screenplays and novels and all sorts of things. Yes. Good on you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Shanti, what made you fall in love? Because you, like we mentioned before, you're a sci-fi sort of fantasy lover. What made you fall in love with those genres?
Oh, I can name a bunch of different things. I fell in love with sci-fi fantasy very, very young. There are a couple things I can remember. First off was a book called Space Cat, and it's exactly what it sounds. It's like the cat goes to space. It's very, very old. It's like the 1950s. and it was a book my mom read to me. Again, it has a cat in it. Yeah. So a lot of
the muse.
I also really liked books like Aliens and Robots. Like, there have been all these books and stuff that have these sci-fi elements that I've just fallen in love with. And then, of course, there's Star Wars. I watched Star Wars
the
first time when I was very young. And I just fell in love with it. I love Star Wars.
That's about as good of inspiration as you can get in the sci-fi world.
I mean, I think George Lucas influenced legions of generations. And the thing is that he didn't even know what he was doing. Like, if you watch his biography shows, he's like, I was putting this together and I thought it'd be fun. And like, you know, and like, here we are, billions of dollars in profit later and billions of people influenced in all sorts of ways. This is what art does, people.
Absolutely. Yeah. What? So you have also, talk a little bit, Shanti, too, because you've gone into other genres. I vaguely remember on your Instagram that you posted about some other sort of like kind of different topics that you've talked about in your books. Talk a little bit about some of that as well.
So my books, I think, well, most of them are science fiction. They do have a variety of different topics and themes to them, I believe. I like to have in each of my books some sort of kind of underlying theme that kind of just holds the story together and gives it some sort of lesson or moral. In some books, that's very easy to find. It's very obvious what the theme is going to be. In other books, not at all. In other books, it's like I start thinking like, I want the moral of the book to be this. And then I'll get to the end of the book and I'll be like, this doesn't really fit anymore. So I have to go back and edit and see where I can actually include something. In a way, without like a theme, a book is very kind of shallow.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything needs a purpose. Yeah.
What made you choose this? Like, what made you fall in love with this? I mean, aside from cats being your muse, without a doubt, like what makes you keep going?
It can be a very lonely choice, writing. Because like acting, actors have other actors. But writers, we sit there alone, sometimes in the dark with just ourselves to think. Like, what is it that how do you thrive?
I still sometimes can't figure out what it is. I love writing. It's like I can create these characters and create these worlds and they're like real. Like they seem very real. It's very interesting. In the book I'm writing right now, it has to do with like a multiverse and all this kind of crazy stuff. It wasn't supposed to be. It has like so much going on that I'm going to have to read through it. I'm going to be horrified. But anyways, in it, there was a quote. It's something like, there's no difference between writing and creating a universe. Like, I really like that. I can kind of pinpoint an exact moment when I fell in love with writing, if you'd like to hear that.
Sure. Yes, we would love to.
It was, oh my gosh, it was so long ago. I think probably around 10 years ago, 11, no, not 10 years ago, like 11, not 11, oh my God, I can't do math. No, like nine years
we
ago.
We can't either, it's me.
I was probably around 5. It would have been in the first grade. I think I was like, yeah, 5 or 6. I used to go to the bookstore a lot with my dad, even when I was like 3 or 4 too. So maybe I could say, I don't know. I was around that age. Okay, I was like a toddler. I would just go to the bookstore and I would read. Usually it would be, you know, the little children's books that are like easy reading. I don't know if you've seen those, but they have like the whole kind of shelf of them. They're very cool. It kind of started with those. As I spent a lot of time in the bookstore, I kind of got to realize that like books are pretty magical, but there are people like behind them that create them and create these worlds for people and give people like a new story to experience and give people like a book to escape to. And I loved that idea. And I thought the people that wrote books were really, really cool. I didn't know how they did it. I didn't know like who they were. I was like, these people are amazing. I want to be like one of them. I just thought it was really, really hard and I thought it was impossible. I started trying to write my first book when I was like 6 and it was awful. I still have the little probably 20-page little bind up that was mostly just drawings. However, it kind of just started this like thing for me in which I really wanted to be an author, but I thought I was way too young. However, I managed to like kind of ditch that mindset when I was 12. I wish it didn't take that long to ditch, but
it takes people way longer than that sometimes, Shanti. Decades. So we're glad you ditched it.
What was the name of your first novel? Do you remember?
It was called The Cat and the Love, because those were the only words I knew how to spell.
And the rest is all pictures. I love it. You must revisit it one day. You must revisit it and revive it.
Yeah. I have most of my old writing in a bucket, not a bucket, like a bin.
Like a bin.
But I don't have that one. I don't know. It's somewhere. We have it. There are like 3 different versions of it. We should have all 3 somewhere. I really hope we have the first one because that's like the one.
Yeah. Well, that'll be worth money. That's the one that started it all.
The original copy of that will be like, you know, that'll be your retirement fund. To this point. Did you have or do you have like mentors or do you have, who's the first person who reads your stuff besides you? Who do you trust?
So I have a writing coach who reads my writing before anyone else. She's actually the only one who usually gets to read my writing before it's published. Not my parents. Not my family. I'm mean about that. I don't usually let them read it until it's published. I don't know why. It's funnier to me. It's like, I'll hand them a published book and be like, oh yeah, here's your reading for the month. Take
it. And that'll be $19.99, by the way. Thank you very much.
Business acumen as well, Shanti. We love it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like I'll send like little excerpts of my writing to my friends. Be like, look what I just wrote. Look at this scene. The only one who gets to read the whole book before it's published is my writing coach. I used to let my parents read excerpts of like Biome Lock. Now it's like with my books, I'm just like, you know, you can read it once I have a printed copy to give you. Sometimes I have printed proofs of the book that come like a month or two early. Usually it's just they can have the book once it's up on Amazon.
Sure. And you,
I love it. Mm.
Did you start self-publishing and you have a publisher now? What was your publisher journey?
So my publishing journey is right now I'm self-publishing using Kindle Direct Publishing and Ingram Spark, which is KDP's like pretty good. Ingram Spark's a lot harder than people think it is, but
we feel that, honey. We feel that.
Yeah. My journey right now as it's going is when I'm maybe about 16-ish, so which is like 2 years, I'll have a big enough platform that it'll be very easy to get traditionally published because I'll have all these books, I'll have all these interviews, I'll have all these followers, and I'll have all these sales. And I hope, and maybe this won't be the case, that like a traditional publisher can kind of help expand my options a little and kind of open new opportunities. However, there's a chance I'll be successful enough self-publishing that I won't actually need a traditional publisher and it won't do much. Right now, it's kind of like I'm just seeing how things are going and then I'll make my decision like when I'm like older. So it's like a lot of stuff is still kind of open to possibilities and stuff.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, you're just doing everything that we should all be doing. Like, you're just like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to write 1,000 words a day. Now I have 5 million words. Now I have 25 books. Now I'm going to publish it myself too and just put it out there and keep going. That is, boy, oof, I have learned a lot already in the last 20 minutes. I was like, I'm so behind. And I'm like, eons old. Oh my God. Goodness.
No, Shanti, and I love too, P.S. in our icebreaker, I asked Shanti how many podcast episodes she's recorded, and it's 44, ladies and gentlemen. So
44.
The pro here in this environment is not Tom and I, it is definitely Shanti. So good here. And I love that, and you're going to use all that press and package all that press. And I hope you do use the Unusual Creatures one day to get you a good publisher. But it sounds like you're doing great without them. So, I mean, you're breaking every barrier in every sense of the word. And I adore your journey already.
Thank you.
I want to just swing back around to your writing coach. So how do you work with your writing coach? How did you find them? What is the relationship like there?
So what happens is we meet twice a week and we'll either talk a lot about like marketing and stuff and writing, or I'll have her just kind of read through my writing just to make sure there's no grammatical errors because I'm 14, so there's going to be some spelling errors. Actually, not as many as I think. What happens usually in my process is I'll do like a couple drafts and I'll have her look at it. In my first draft, usually I just have to go. I'm a really bad editor, like honestly. So in my second
most
draft,
writers are.
I usually just rely on Grammarly to give me suggestions and then see if there's any scenes I want to add.
Yeah, I love Grammarly. That's what I use at work too. It's the best tool. Because I am also a terrible editor. I'm more of a writer than an editor, but you're either one or the other, I feel like. You know, it's like unicorns out there that are good at both.
One of my books, it's like, it's literally like the best book I've ever written, but there were some chapters that were really, really clean. And then there were some chapters that were an absolute mess because I wrote them quicker. And I wrote this one on Google Docs instead of my other writing platform. I switched over to my other writing platform to edit. Oh my gosh, there was, the red was everywhere. And it was very alarming.
There's so much blood. Why? Like, why?
What book? What book is your favorite book? Like, what's your favorite piece of art that you've created?
That I've created? 100% Never Dying. That's the one that comes out in 11 days. Oh, crap. I need to do more marketing. Okay. Well, it comes out in 11 days, and it's the best book I've ever written.
Okay. We love the confidence.
Yeah. I say that because I love it. It's so good. And it's like the book that I decided I kind of needed to ditch the idea that I was like 14 and just like kind of pretend to be an adult. And when I wrote that, I love it. Like, I keep saying I love it because it's true.
It's true. Well, I'm glad. It should be true.
What is it about? So, can you give us a teaser?
Yeah. This is going to be a very rough teaser. I do not have, like, I have the elevator pitch, but I cannot perform it very well. But Never Dying is a 450-page young adult novel that takes place in a dystopian future in which a handful of humans are immortals due to a genetic mutation. The immortals, being the minority, are hunted and exterminated by government operators known as exterminators. In short, it is a crime to be immortal. The story story follows Scarlet, a young immortal woman who encounters an exceptionally attractive exterminator with his own dark secret. He is an immortal too. What follows is a page-turning adventure filled with romance and philosophical questions about whether or not immortality is worth it.
That's great. I can't wait. I want the movie, like, right now. Like, I'm ready for Same. The movie.
I made the fan Same. Cast already. Like, last night, instead of writing, I kind of took a break and just started messing around with the fan cast. I have that.
Nice. Yeah. Super stoked. I can't wait to dig into all your art, Shanti. I'm going to be one of your biggest fans buying all your stuff on Amazon. I can't.
I was also noticing, so besides novels and traditional writing, I on your bio, I was saying you also do spoken word.
I do.
And you perform.
Yeah.
Let's discuss a little bit about that. Where and why and what do you normally find your inspiration for spoken word? Spoken word is a genre that's like blowing up. And it's yeah. The guy who won an AGT a couple years ago, Brandon Leakes, is brilliant. And it's tell us a little bit about that.
So I started spoken word probably actually before I started writing books. I started spoken word in about December of 2019. I have to say, all of my poems at this point, actually not all of them, I have a few that aren't. I have a few about writing. I have a few about a variety of things. The majority of my really good poems are about how much I don't like my school. So, and I have performed these said poems at my school. At school events. So
bossy. I love it. Brave.
Those were like the first poems I ever wrote. Those were the first ones that kind of blew up like on social media. I have some now that aren't, but usually like all my spoken word poetry is quite dark.
Hey man, get it out. We love that.
Yeah.
And do you have a little snippet of something you can give us
in your spoken word? I have several poems. I have one about how I hate middle school. I have another about my school telling me to shut up. And then I have one about gun violence. So if you want, you can take your pick.
Oh, whichever one you feel comfortable if you want to do one, whichever one you're in the mood for. But we would love to hear it if you're feeling it.
All right, let me see if I can. I don't know if I trust myself. I have it memorized. There's only one I have memorized, and it's Needles and Thorns. And it's about how I got bullied at my school, and then they kind of wouldn't listen to me. And that's a whole story. Mm. I wrote an entire book about that. You won't know her name. That's like my most popular book. So
oh, wow.
I can talk about that next. But this is a poem that kind of I wrote before I started writing that book that I just love. I got a call from my school administration. My mom called them about. They called my mom about it because they didn't like it.
That's probably because you were saying something that needed to be heard.
Exactly.
So I can read that one if you want.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yes.
All right. And this one's called Needles and Thorns. These people don't listen. No, they refuse to hear. My cries for help. They were suffocated in fear. We're drowned with work. A transition that hurts. Well, instead the care for others. It's nowhere to be found. It's been going on all my life. But school changes. It transforms. From conflict to hatred. From telling to dying. I see people crying. The things they say, it sticks to me like the needles of a cactus. But maybe things are more horrifying than they seem. It all feels like a bad dream. And who said it's just middle school? Because if it all is, I don't want any part of this. It's a story intertwined as they say it's all awful. Something from the movies until it's all real. And words gather up like thorns in the desert, spoken from one person to another until they pile up and draw blood, forcing us all to wonder, why do we go to middle school? Just to suffer? Well, this is what it's like, with bullies and peer pressure and assignments that feel endless until I want to drop them in a deep crevice. But work drives the least of my worries. It's the cries I wonder about. Make me think, does my voice count? Because these people don't listen. No, they refuse to hear. And I can't see a future that's not shrouded in fear.
Yes.
That was great.
Thank you. And that's when I wrote that in seventh grade after, I'm trying to remember what prompted it. It was very long ago now, a year ago. In sixth grade, I got bullied like really, really bad to the point where I don't even know if I want to call it bullying. It's just abuse at this point. It's really bad stuff.
Let's speak truth. It's always been abuse. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the pandemic hit. And I think then in seventh grade, like there was a little cyberbullying incident because, you know, if they can't bully you, you know, in person,
they're gonna do it online.
And my school administration's response to all this, and to be fair, we told them very early on in this school year for sixth grade, and that was I was new to the school then. My school administration's response to really, really bad and really horrifying events that probably should be felonies, and actually I think are, was, it's just middle school. It happens all the time. And I don't know about you, but I don't think some of this stuff is just middle school. So I have spent the last 3 years probably kind of fighting for justice and to make my school safe, because this happens to a lot of people at my school. My school is not a safe place as much as a lot of people want to think it is. We have no place for hate in my school now, so I have been instrumental in some things at my school, but I don't know how much it's changed. So I basically spent the last 3 years nonstop fighting for justice and arguing with my school administration and like crying in the school bathroom and stuff. However, it's technically over now because I graduated yesterday. Basically over.
Goodbye, middle school. But you know, I mean, there's always an uphill battle with those journeys, and high school will be a whole nother. But you're so poised and so courageous. I feel that you're going to make this work and teach some lessons to these folk.
Keep fighting for justice. We need a lot of Shantis in this world, and you certainly didn't deserve to be bullied. So that school was lucky to have you, but sayonara, suckers.
Right. And so you took, and I love that you took all that pain and turned it into art. So that when you turned it from your poem into a whole book. What was the name of the book, the most popular one?
You Won't Know Her Name.
You Won't Know. And what is that based? That was based on your bullying. And what is the story there?
It's basically almost an exact retelling of what happened to me. Just none of the characters have any names because I didn't want to change everyone's name because I felt like that would make it a little less powerful if it was like they're kind of fictional characters. So I wanted them to be real, but I also didn't want to just use everybody's names and have a lawsuit coming my way.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So instead what I did is I also wrote it in poetry because I didn't feel like I could write it as a full text book. I didn't think it would be as powerful, and I just didn't think I would be able to tell the story. So what I did was I wrote it in these little short poems. There were like 200 poems. It's insane. And actually in the back is Needles and Thorns and then another poem I wrote. It tells the story only, actually it's kind of sad, it only tells the first part of the story. So from August 2019 to December 2019-ish, because I could not, there would be no end if I did anything that happened after that. So I kind of had to have this kind of like closure, but not exactly a happy ending where it's still kind of open-ended a little, because if I would have allowed it to kind of continue on with the story, there would be no happy ending and it would be a very long and very a little boring and just a lot of arguing and a lot of just crying. And I couldn't do that, so I had to give it kind of a powerful ending with the idea that things are still gonna read. It's really hard to explain.
Sure. No, I can't wait. I'll definitely check it out and spread it around too, because I think it's a story that it's clearly going to be a book that probably helps a lot of people,
thank you.
Not just your age too. I mean, bullying is omnipresent and universal. And I think Tom and I certainly both experienced it when we were in middle school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was a fun time, middle school. I was also the new transfer from New York to Florida. I was, 13 and like the new kid, and like, and we were poor, so I didn't have all the fancy clothes. I remember one girl, when I sat down, she she didn't even know me, and I was wearing a shirt that said Florida, and she's like, "What are you wearing? You can't wear a shirt that says Florida in Florida." I was like, I'm like,
people are so mean.
So, and you did so much more with it. I just stayed in a lot of darkness, and I wish that I had had such an outlet. I was a creative person, but I didn't do what you did. Like, so I'm amazed by you, and so like inspired to do. So thank you you're going to help a lot of people. You're going to help a lot of young kids and a lot of adults.
Just humans.
I just want to say, I feel like you have fully embraced your unusual creature, and I'm living for it. Yes.
Thank you.
Tell us too. I mean, I can't imagine writing as much as you do and then still having to go to school. How do you balance everything? Do you have like time management tools that you use? Like, clearly you have a process. So what's that look like for Shanti?
So first I like making a list of everything I need to do in the day. Usually it's writing related, or it'll be like, you need to do this school assignment. At the school I'm at right now, I don't have very much homework. I'm a little scared because next year I will, and I don't know how I'm going to handle that, but I'll be able to get
adjust.
Through it.
Yeah, you'll adjust.
What I do is I kind of make a list of like what I need to do today. Then I'll start like kind of going through it. Usually the first thing I do is I write my 1,000 words. Then I do any marketing or any interviews that I need to, like written interviews and stuff. Then I just chill out. And it usually takes around 2 or 3 hours to complete.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, she chills out. The chilling out is very important. I think we often forget to do the chilling.
not to be dark for a minute, but tell us, because you're the only person we've had on, and this is a very omnipresent topic too, but how much is gun violence prevalent in your life? We never had to do these drills. Are you doing drills frequently? What are they like, and what do they entail?
We're not doing drills, but I will say it is extremely prevalent in my life, to the point where it's like a day-to-day thing. Like, you go to school and you kind of like worry about it every single day. And in my case, I have a very interesting thing on this, because I had a now ex-friend whom at a party asked us, also before would ask us if we've ever thought about murdering a bunch of people, if we ever wanted to murder a bunch of people. And this ex-friend at a party said they wanted to shoot up the school, and we had to take it to the school administration, and the cops were called, and it was this very big thing. And that was actually, so the school, we told them about it day before the shooting in Texas. So then that happened, and the cops were called basically, and it was this very big thing. Really, really scary, because this person, we're still kind of scared, is going to retaliate, and they're very mad now because they don't like that I told, and they're just spreading rumors now and being completely just awful.
Well, people need to realize, like, you can't just throw around these words anymore. This is, you know, like, and it's not about, you're not looking cool, you're not looking badass, you're just a fool. You did the right thing. This is how people slip through people like that slip through the cracks, because other people are afraid to speak up. So kudos to you again.
Thankfully, you know, I'm switching schools in a few days, and they're not going to be at that school because we're in different districts. So
yay!
And for the future, for the people out there, do you, as a student, want to see your teachers armed?
No, not at all.
Thank you. That would not make you feel safer.
No, that's like not a solution. That's just, I mean, you know, student could steal a gun. Something could happen. And again, like, we don't need to arm people. We need to remove guns, I feel like. Yeah.
And educate more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
I know. It's terrifying. And I'm glad that you're writing poetry about it and getting it out on paper and channeling those emotions, you know? I think that's so important, Shanti. Let's go to a happy place. Tell us what you're working on right now.
I was gonna say this could take the next hour. Like, let's get to her shameless self-promotion, because we could be here all day, I think.
yeah, absolutely. Tell us what you're working on right now. Tell us how people can read your stuff, where they can find you.
So right now I'm almost done. It's really long right now. It's like already 400 pages or something insane like that. It's almost done. Literally, I'm in like the last couple chapters, and I'm currently working on book 17, which is called The Bane of Angel Fall Academy, and it's very complicated. It's about writing, so that's kind of cool, but it's, I don't even know, it went from like 1 to 100 very quickly, so it started off as a really kind of cute, innocent book about kids in boarding school, and now they're about to save like the universe, so.
Cool.
It kind of feels like something I would have written in fourth grade. I don't know if it's good or bad or not, but I like it. So that's what I'm working on. I'm also really heavily working on just marketing for Never Dying, which I wish I had a copy of in here. Usually I have my books to show during my interviews. However, I slept till 10:40. So
I didn't have time. Shame. 10:40. Wow. My God. You actually sleep? I'm surprised you have the time.
I sleep really late. Usually I don't wake up until like noon, so
thank you for waking up a little early for us. We appreciate it. And no worries, we will digitally share all of your books after the interview on all of our platforms too, so that people know where to read all of Shanti Hershenson's work.
So your newest book that just came out recently is Never Dying, the one we were discussing. And where can everyone find that? On the Amazons, on everywhere?
You can find Never Dying on Amazon. Probably Barnes & Noble. Yeah, Barnes & Noble, because the hardcover. Honestly, anywhere you buy books online, it's on, I thought it was like 40,000 retailers, but I am not sure. It is basically everywhere. You can probably find it on your local bookstore's website, though I do not know about in person or not. I mean, there's a chance. Yeah, you can literally find it anywhere. And I seriously recommend you buy it. It is the best book I've ever written. Like, if you want to get into reading my books, read that one, then go read all the old stuff. I say the old stuff for like everything I wrote before it. So...
Nice. This is a turning point. Never Dying is an inflection point in your like growth as a writer. I love that.
And you can get everything, I'm assuming, through your website, which is shantihershenson.com, shantihershenson.com, and all the books and everything in your bio is all listed there. And on the IG, are you on TikTok and Twitter and Facebook?
I am. So my TikTok is at Shanti Who Writes, and my Instagram is at Shanti Hershenson. I think Twitter's at Shanti Hersh. I don't really use Twitter unless it's to repost things about me. So
Shanti, you're a treasure. Go ahead, Tom.
What real quick is the dream, Shanti? Like 10, 20 years from now, like, are you going to the new Ray? Who was the guy who wrote the Star Trek? Roddenberry?
Gene Roddenberry.
Like, are we seeing movies and TV series and a media empire?
I think so. I want kind of just everything. So I think movie adaptations would be incredible. A bunch of books, kind of everything. Like, I just want a really solid career, and I want to help people, and I want to inspire people, and I want people to kind of know my name.
Yeah. Get a girl. You know, we love that.
I say that as I have a book called You Won't Know Her Name, but you know.
An important book that needs to be read, for sure. I can't wait to see it. Shanti, I don't think there's anything that's going to stop you, and I can't wait to have said that I knew you just before your media empire exploded, because it could be any day now.
let's hope that when our media empire explodes, her media empire is exploding, and we can all, you know, merge in some way, work a little something in the future. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shanti. You're the best. Keep writing. You're an inspiration. I'm so glad we got to spend some time with you. And thank you for taking the time. Congratulations on graduating middle school. High school is going to be a whole new adventure. And we are going to keep laser focused eyes on you, because Absolutely. You're a superstar.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for embracing your art and for making art. You make it this. You're the kind of person for the future. Like, this is what art can do for the people who want to poo-poo it. This is how strong it can be and can lead to so many beautiful things. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for listening. Tom, I'll close this out. Please subscribe, like, follow, tell your friends. Obviously, this is going
to
be,
your cats.
My favorite episode. Yes, to the cats. Tell your cats. This is definitely going to be one of my favorite episodes. Thank you to Shanti. Tom, this has been wonderful,
yes,
as always. And
keep it cool. Keep it cool. It's hot.
Keep
yes.
it cool out there, honeys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to The Unusual Creatures. We love telling the stories of these creatives, and we hope you love listening to them.
You know the drill. Subscribe where you love listening to pods. Send links to your friends and tell everyone you know about this show. And I mean everyone. Counting the minutes until we meet again. And
keep being unusual creatures.